this is about choices. Money's running out, and at some point we are faced with really important choices. And we need to focus on healthcare for children, mental health, and so on and so on. And if you talk about choices, you talk about ethics. So the next speaker is an expert on philosophy. We found we spent some time before, we were both early, and we have some common ground because we both lived in Belgium. Funny common ground to have. But beyond that, it's actually about really understanding how technology, patience, innovation, and ethics and decision making, and how do you balance these things out? Stephen, over to you.
Thank you. I'm going to talk about a method of governance that I expect could be somehow incorporated into ways of governing the NHS, and it's based in a kind of analogy that I see between the challenges and sorts of problems that European policymakers have, and similarly that are had in the NHS. So there's sort of a lot to fit into this, so it's going to be broad. But I think it sort of highlighted the things that have been said already that can feed into this quite well. So I'm encouraged for one. So, taken from an esteemed document by Professor Steenstra, I have some of the challenges that face the NHS, and they mainly sort of congregate around the ideas of sharing good practice, and the problems fostered by competition between trusts, the idea of the best sorts of practice can be lost in the overall picture in the NHS just due to its complexity and due to the regulation and the top-down nature of how things are run. And the absence of lateral links. So there's a lot of isolationism, molecularism maybe is something that could be sought. So the challenge here then is how to think of something that allows the sharing of best practice across what is a massive organisation, great diversity among practitioners, patients at every level, that somehow has to be centred on patients. It also has to be done ethically, responsibly, and effectively. Again, for everyone. So there's a huge amount of complexity going on there, but the challenge, in a sense, is fairly simple because you can set in a slide in a PowerPoint. The parallel I saw with Europe is that European organisation is sometimes described as a novel polity without a state, meaning that if you're in the same way, we're all patients, we're all Europeans, but what does that mean exactly? It's very difficult to actually know. So governing Europeans involves something called, it's referred to as the community method of policy making. So we have sort of laws that are policies that are put forward by the European Commission and that are then voted for by the Parliament, that are then enforced by the European Court of Justice. And these have to somehow feed down into each nation state, which means there has to be translation of broad policy into national pictures through national parliaments. And sometimes some member states can be a little bit truculent. Maybe the UK is one, don't know. So what you have is, again, a very, very broad, complex picture with lots and lots of little nodes where different problems can occur. So the European policymakers' challenge is to act when they're often not desired to act when there isn't a specific mandate to act. And again, what they lack between the top levels and the bottom levels and horizontally are links to share best practice. So in other words, they have to promote sharing of best practice across a huge conglomerate, very difficult landscape, great diversity, has to be citizen focused. This all has to be done ethically, responsibly, and effectively. So on the face of it, at least at that level, at that sort of analogical level, there's a parallel with the NHS scenario just described. In Europe, they have a large deployment of this tool that they call the open method of coordination. So my idea is that if that can be deployed throughout Europe as a way of dealing with this problematic, then maybe some version of this sort of a method of coordination can be adopted within NHS practice for similar outcomes. So what's OMC? A sort of straightforward picture of governance is this sort of view. So we have an idea that these colours don't work, do they? So you have the idea is people elect representatives who determine policy to treat issues that affect people who elect representatives, and there's a sort of a cycle that goes like that. That's a sort of a standard, sort of very basic level view of how governance works. But things are always more complicated than they seem. So if we add some complexity, you can see that added to that picture, you can have sometimes representatives themselves take it upon themselves to make issues that will affect people. Sometimes people themselves determine issues as a cause. Sometimes policy itself can be an issue that somehow has to be treated by the same cycle. So this is just like one new dimension of complexity. You can keep doing this, you can keep adding arrows and you can keep adding dimensions, and the idea is that this picture becomes so hopelessly complex that it just seems like you should just give up trying. Part of the problem with that entire view of governance is that it's basically kind of a zero-sum game. It's that issues are things you either support or that you reject, and that someone wins, someone loses. There's an alternative way of looking at it is to think about dialogue in a much more complicated way, and to have governance centered on an idea of something called direct deliberative polyarchy, just because why not? The deliberativeness is supposed to be that rather than having a confrontation between different views where someone's going to win, someone's going to lose, you're going to champion a cause, you're going to oppose a cause, discussion is thought of as a means to mediate disagreements such that settled views are disentrenched and alternative perspectives on issues are at least aired. It's directly deliberative in the sense that it uses actual people's views of things to be the starting point rather than an end point, or rather than to be something to be manipulated. This is kind of the input of people. So it's a preempt, patient-centered, citizen-centered. This is where this bit comes in, because you're actually talking to people, or you're actually talking to patients or caregivers. The polyarchic bit is important because this is the part of the whole scheme that allows for different bases to have equal input into eventual governance structures. So rather than just having elected representatives determining policy to treat issues, because the whole thing's predicated on a conversation, this kind of floats free of that, and issues are determined by a conversation, so is potential modes of treating them. So in the European picture, that is applied in a broad sense to the complex picture of supranational governance. And what its strengths are is that it's good at identifying problems, so everybody can flag issues that they don't like, so you end up with a lot of issues that nobody likes. It respects diversity because the legitimacy of the approach is in increasing participation, so the more voices, the merrier. The positive side of that is that it encourages a convergence on objectives. So once we all know what everybody hates, we know what we're meant to deal with. By the very fact that people use the processes to come to the common view on the things they hate, you've already agreed on a kind of a process because you've just done it. But this is done at such a high level that it doesn't tell you what to do specifically to deal with specific issues. So it means that there's a certain amount of latitude, say, at a nation state level, to deal with a problem that's been agreed with supranationally. So this is kind of the simple sort of picture to show the sort of thing I mean. A framework goal would be a sort of a supranational thing that's been agreed upon. Every member state there, ABC, has some sort of input into determining this, and at the same time they have constant sort of dialogue and monitoring among themselves. Each member state also has then this sub sort of node where they have national policy into which is fed things like public consultation, expert committee advice, and anything else you can think of. So for example, a recent framework goal was for a shared energy grid across Europe, this was agreed upon as something positive to work toward. But you can see how members C, for instance, might decide they want to take part in the shared energy grid initiative by liberalizing their power market, whereas member nation B might decide that the best way to take part in the shared energy framework goal is to nationalize the power grid, for instance. Totally opposite approaches, but they're under the auspices of the shared goal, and at the whole time they can be monitored, you can learn from each other's experience, and maybe come to, say, a third position that member state A takes, where they liberalize the power market but make it not-for-profit, so it's kind of halfway between nationalized and private. So the point is, discussion leads to all these goals. Discussion moderates the entire endeavor that goes on under it, but there's no particular thing that anyone has to do. I've just done lots of hours here to show where all the problems are, but they're probably clear. all the sort of areas of interface where framework goals meet nation states, or where consultation and co-monitoring occurs, where national policy is agreed upon, where consultation is framed, all of these parts are themselves as complicated as the sort of first picture of how governance works. But the point about this dialogical sort of method is that that's taken as a positive. What's meant to happen is that this becomes an experimental governance approach. People try things, and in trying them, they're testing them, not just for themselves, but for everybody else who's sort of peer reviewing as they go along. It also contextualizes anything that's being done because it's in the light of a common goal. It's also a learning approach, because if something goes really badly wrong, you can look next door and you can explain, well, we tried this and it didn't work, what have you been trying, and learn from that example. This is supposed to also be a way to marshal the problems of diversity, in the sense that diversity is the asset here. You have so much going on that you have rich pickings. So it's normative and cognitive, because this idea of polyarchy has given you sort of normative anchors to work with. The very idea of direct and deliberative polyarchy, being open, peer review, all these things anchor the approach in a way that's been agreed upon. So no matter what else happens, you've got this positive framework. So if we were to imagine sort of translating that into an NHS picture, what would it be? It would be positive for identifying common challenges. So the things from the first slide that were difficult about sharing best practice. Well, no matter what's going on in terms of competition, there are going to be a fair amount of common challenges among different trusts, even down to sort of individual department levels. There's going to be common challenges for all. You can build consensus around common objectives, whether that's something, at say, a sort of a national level. If we decide Alzheimer's is the thing to treat, and then people move toward that goal, something like that. Can develop agreements on how to mutually assess one another. So as this mutual peer review is going on, the very idea of the peer review itself can be part of the thing that's discussed. Why are we monitoring each other? Why are we doing it this way? Why aren't we doing it that way? Can we learn from each other in a different way? It can identify promising approaches, in the sense that when things are tried and they go badly wrong, it's the risky part of anything. That can quickly be fed into this network, because the idea is that it's constant peer review, so nothing has to be too far along a bad track before it can be arrested and changed. It also achieves measurable performance improvements, in the sense that because of this discursive arrangement, we all are on the same page in terms of how we're talking to one another. So there's a sense in which we know we're all talking the same vocabulary. One difficulty is that it would be difficult in such a fluid picture to establish causal connections between what you're doing and what you're measuring, and how that's good. Causal connections aren't necessarily there, although strong discursive connections might be. So in that vein, this sort of picture of the member nation framework goal stuff, how translatable is that into an NHS? Well, I've just pointed at some problems. I mean, it's not clear exactly how translatable member nation is to, say, trust or hospital. It's not clear what framework goal would represent, whether that would be some sort of statute or some sort of policy. It's not clear what level that would be at. There's also such a heavily regulated industry, area, that it's difficult to know how fluid any discussion could be when it's so constrained by so many other factors. So these would all be sort of not necessarily special challenges for a medical environment, but certainly very, very strong ones. So what I hope to have pointed toward is, at the very least, an analogy between the open method of coordination as it's employed as a governance tool across the complexity of European governance from a supranational to a national level, and the complexities and the challenges for the NHS and its governance structures. So while it isn't exactly isomorphic, it's not necessarily translatable from one to the next, or not least the complexity, there's still something there. I think it's an analogy worth pursuing, because although it's got the high stakes of, the obvious high stakes, the payoffs, if it were to work, would be that best practice from the first slide that it's missing. The mechanisms of sharing best practice would be instituted, and it would be a means of going forward. Thank you.
Wow, I think this is coming together really, really nicely, because we're seeing bits of solutions coming through. David, the first bit about different cultures, having bits of the jigsaw puzzle. Alison using design tools. Stephen are actually working at least at three different levels and saying stuff that's going on with European policy making level that works, you can actually use at an NHS level as well. But how do we connect them, the local initiatives, into the framework?